I'm really excited to be starting this series off. And I love the story of Joseph. Anybody else love the story of Joseph? Some of you might not be too familiar with it, but I just love the whole narrative that is all about a boy of 17 who is just a spoilt brat, isn't he? He is so spoilt. And when you start to look at his family, you realise what a dysfunctional family that they are. And then he gets this dream and these couple of dreams, and he realizes that he's going to become somebody of greatness. So what does a spoiled brat in a dysfunctional family do? He starts bragging about it in such a way that is so annoying. I'm one of four brothers, and if any of you are in families like that with lots of siblings, you know how at the best of times you rub each other up the wrong way. But you can just see the picture of how it goes. But then it all goes disastrously wrong for him. He hits absolute rock bottom, but then he rises to fulfill that dream, and he actually stays on top for 80 years. He lives a life of integrity, and even though he had a bad start, he ends incredibly well. And over that time, he goes through this massive, massive transformation. He becomes an incredibly gifted administrator. He becomes somebody who's got a head for business. And he's a national leader. Not just a national leader, but somebody who saves not just the nation that he's in a time of national crisis, but nations around him. He would be sort of ancient version of Winston Churchill, who's cemented his place in history as somebody who was instrumental in saving nations. And we talk about foreshadows of Christ in the Bible, a bit of a definition there. But if anybody ever talks about what a foreshadow is, well, it's the shadow that you get to before you get to the thing, if that makes sense. Yeah? Is that a good definition? The thing you get to before you get to the thing. So way before Jesus, we have Joseph, who is a foreshadow of what Jesus came to do. Because Jesus was and is our Saviour. And in the similar kind of way, Joseph was a Saviour of that nation at that time. It's good stuff because it helps us understand a little bit more about Jesus. We'll come back to that. But what do you think of when you think of dreams? Because Joseph has these dreams that are a very significant part of his start. Now, I don't know if any of you are prone to falling asleep on a Sunday morning. Do you know, I love that Ronnie brings us sweets around in the morning, and I always save mine for when whoever's preaching, because it just helps me concentrate. I'm not going to do that this morning. Does anybody feel they need my sweet this morning? No, I was going to give it away. Janet will have it. Watch Janet, she's going to fall asleep when she's finished her sweet. Has any of you ever had a recurring dream? Yes, I had used to have a recurring dream several years ago. It was soon after I'd taken on the farm management role of a large chicken farm. And we had 24,000 free-range hens, and we used to rear about 12,000 chicks, day-old chicks a day at a time. Now, that was a huge responsibility to take on because there were a whole load of other aspects to the farm as well. We had sheep, cows, and all the rest of it. And I'd kind of landed this job and didn't quite know how I'd managed to get it, but I felt I had quite a weight of responsibility. But in those early days, I had this recurring dream where I would suddenly wake up in one of the sheds. It was the shed we called Shed 2, because we were imaginative with our names. And it was pitch black, so it was the middle of the night, and I don't know how I got into this shed in the middle of the night, but I was completely naked. And it was such a vivid dream that I would actually partially wake up, and I would probably spend what felt like 10 minutes working out, how on earth have I got into this shed in the middle of the night, and why am I naked? And more importantly, how am I going to get back to the farmhouse without anybody seeing me? And gradually, I would realise that actually I've got my pyjamas on. Well, that's okay. And then I would realise that it was just a dream, and that the contented noise was not sleeping chickens beside me, it was Esther. And the nearest thing that I had to a chicken was the feather pillow I was lying on. Now, it could just be that the darkness represented my not really feeling I was knowing what I was doing in the job role, and the nakedness, well, it might just be that I was afraid of being exposed. That could be it. If you've got any other interpretations, keep them to yourself, because I don't really want to know. But we have dreams. We have these kind of night dreams. But when we talk about living the dream, what do we think it is? What are the kind of definitions? And there's a couple of definitions that of living the dream that people think of. One is living the life that most people dream of. How many of you are good at looking at other people's wonderful lives and you go, do you know, I just wish that my life was a little bit more like that. I wish I had a little bit more of that. I wish that my family were a bit more like their family. Or I wish that my bank account was a bit more like their bank account. Or I wish that my job was a little bit more filling like that person's job is. It could also be living the life that you've always dreamed of. So you might have in your head a dream of how you want to live, how you want your life to be, and what you want to aspire to. But actually, both of these definitions really miss the point of what living the dream is when we're living it in God. And a real definition would be a little bit more like this. Living the life that God has always purposed for us. Living the life God has always purposed for us. You see, God, when he plans and has a purpose for us, it is far better than anything that we could ever possibly come up with ourselves. Because he knows us. He knows us inside out. He knows who we are and what we're like. And so when he has a plan and he has a purpose for us, it is far better than anything else that anybody else has got. So just hold that thought as we look a little bit closer at Joseph's life. Let's have a little bit of background on Joseph and who he was and where he came from. His father was Jacob. He was actually called the deceiver. He wasn't really noted for his integrity. He actually cheated his older brother out of his inheritance. And as a result, he was forced to flee. So he was practically living a life of being on the run away from his family for fear of being killed. Whilst he's away, he meets Rachel, who he falls in love with and wants to marry. You know how the story goes. Rachel's father actually tricks him into marrying her older sister. It's a bit of a blow, isn't it? By the time Joseph's born, Jacob has had 10 other sons through 3 other women beside Joseph's mother. 2 of his brothers, Simeon and Levi, had committed mass murder. The eldest brother had had sex with one of his father's wives. And when Joseph was 12, his mother dies giving birth to his younger brother. After that, he becomes his father's favorite. And he's singled out from all his brothers as the favored one. This then leads to Joseph being absolutely hated. Like really hated, not just narked off because his brothers and brotherly sibling rivalry and all of that. He is really hated. So he has a lot of problems. He's in a family with a lot of problems. He's probably not your ideal candidate for going, oh, I know, let's make him prime minister of a really important country. But at 17, God gives him a couple of dreams. Foolishly, he brags about them. But this leads to him being sold into slavery. He then goes through 13 years of hardship. He has to learn to forgive, which he does. He actually resists sexual temptation that's thrown his way. But as a result, he's falsely accused of rape and ends up in prison. Not a great set of circumstances, not a great background, not a great present. And despite the dreams, it doesn't look like it's shaping out to be a brilliant future either. But practically overnight, he goes from being a prisoner, from being at rock bottom and with no prospects and no hope at all, to becoming prime minister who would have a significant impact on history. Not just for the nation of Egypt, who he was prime minister for, but for other nations, including Israel. And after that, he goes on to, like I said before, he lived for another 80 years. And like so many people in the Bible, and even in our modern era, who start well can often fall and finish badly, Joseph didn't. He had a good track record right to the end. I love this story. I don't think anybody's ever made it into a really good film. Obviously, we know the musical. Well, some of us might. Not going to sing anything from it, you'll be pleased to know. Actually, one of my little secret dreams would be to be on a West End musical thing. I know it'll never happen. It's not a God thing, don't worry. Don't pray into being. No words again. If you get any interpretation from that, keep them to yourself. But it's not just a great story, and it's not just a great story in the Bible. There are actually a lot of lessons that we can learn and that we can take from that to us for ourselves today. Maybe you're at the start of your life. Maybe you're in your teens. You know, you're working out what you're going to do with life. You're working out what options to take, what courses to do, what you want to do career-wise, and you've kind of got it all ahead of you, and you're working it out, and you've got dreams because it's all there in front of you. Maybe you're somewhere in the middle where you've kind of made a start, and things, you are where you are because of the choices and things that you've made. Or maybe you're sort of towards the end of it all, and you think, well, actually, I'm at the end of the scale of it. But there's a lot that we can learn. And I want to really encourage us this morning to just say, you know, God, what are you saying to me today, this morning, for this time and for this time that I'm in? Either the time I'm about to enter into or the time I feel that I'm in at the moment. And let's allow God to really transform us. Transform our lives and transform us into the people he wants us to be. There's four things that I want us to have a think about this morning. And the first one is this: God has a great purpose for your life. It is a far better purpose than anything that anybody could ever come up for you, even what you think is good for you. God's purpose for your life is the ultimate best. In fact, he already had come up with that plan and that purpose before you even existed. If we have a look at Joseph and just rewind a little bit to before he was even born, the woman, Rachel, his mother, she was actually barren. She could not have children. But that didn't stop God and his purpose for the life of Joseph. That was just a detail for him. Genesis 30, verse 22 and 24. Then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and he opened her womb. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son. You see, God had a purpose for Joseph. He needed Joseph to do this significant thing. Therefore, he needed Joseph to be born. And even though there was a problem right at that end of the story, right at the beginning, God stepped in and he said, well, actually, you know, I need Joseph. He is here for a purpose. And despite that detail, I'm going to make sure that Joseph is born. Joseph was no accident. He was a forethought on God's part. And I just want to tell you, if this is relevant to any of you this morning, I just want to say, you are not an accident. You are not here because you were an accident. You are not here because you're insignificant. You're not on this world because just because you've slipped in through the back door. You are here because God ordained that you would walk this earth and be on this world, in this world. And you need to know that. You need to be affirmed in that, that no matter what your origins were, what your circumstances were, what your background is, it is no accident that you are alive today. You are here because God planned you to be here. In Ephesians 1, 4 and 5 says, "For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will." Do you know the most exciting thing when we start to look at what is God's purpose for our lives? The most exciting and thrilling thing is that God's purpose for us is to be in relationship with him. God's purpose is for us to experience and to know what it is to be loved by him and to love him back. And that's an incredibly releasing relationship to be in that gives us so much freedom. That's why Jesus came. That's why Jesus came and walked this planet and walked this earth, so that there was a way that we can be in relationship with the Father. That is his purpose for us this morning. If any of you are in any doubt as to why am I here? Why am I on this planet then? If you're saying that God has put me here, why am I here? God has put you here because he wants you to be in relationship with him. He wants you to know what it is to be loved by God, and he wants you to love him back. That is our ultimate purpose. And it's a fantastic position to be in when we get hold of that relationship. After that, when we are God's children, when we are sons and we're daughters, well, actually, yeah, there's another bit to it as well, because we all, each of us, have a unique purpose. I love that we're so different. Matt, what's my biggest failings that you help me out on all the time? Where do I start? He says, the one that you were supposed to say. It is, because I am useless at certain stuff like this. I have emergency phone calls to certain people who I know are gracious enough to help me out. But we are all so different. We've all got such different personalities, different skills, different things that make us tick, different things that excite us, different things that distress us, and different things that we ever have on our heart. And it is a wonderful example of the fact that God created such a diversity, even in this room. You know, there's things that I'll do that you'll think, oh, that is so boring. And that's okay. We're all okay with each other's differences because we're an expression of the diversity of God himself. We're a reflection on who he is when we're together. And actually, when we come together, we are able to help each other. When we have problems, when we are exercising grace because the technology doesn't work and you need somebody just to help you before you say something you shouldn't to it. Yes, you know what I'm saying. I'm glad I've got that out. Thank you. But we all have, within our uniqueness, we all have a unique purpose as well. Ephesians 2, verse 10 says, "For we are God's workmanship." We are God's work. I mean, that is just lovely, isn't it? We are God's workmanship. Just let that soak in for a minute, that when God is looking at you and he's looking at I, he's saying, actually, yeah, he's one of mine, she's one of mine, but actually I've worked on this. And there's just this sense of importance that God places and the love and the care that he puts into us. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us to do in advance. God has things for us to do that he's already thought up. And we sometimes struggle to work out what those are. We'll come to that as well. Maybe not today. But there is more to just being a son or a daughter. God has a unique plan for us. Number two, your past doesn't disqualify you from his purpose. You are not disqualified for what God wants you to do because of your past. Joseph and his family clearly had a past. They were working through some present issues at the point that we were picking up as well, but they had a past. Jesus knew the Israels and he knew their family traits. He knew all of Joseph's flaws. He knew that he was spoilt. He knew that he didn't say things with the filter that he should say them with. He knew that he had a lot of things that he needed to work on. A lot of those things were down to immaturity as well. But despite Joseph's qualifications or lack of qualifications, God didn't say, well, do you know what? Because of all of that, I've reconsidered what my purpose was for your life, and therefore I'm going to give the job to somebody else who's not made such a mess of things. No. Whatever the past was for Joseph, it was not, and he was not disqualified from the future that God had for him in terms of living out his purpose. Joseph could have beaten himself up over that, actually. He could have, whilst he was sat in prison, he could have said, well, actually, I've had time to reflect. And I'm just not a nice person. And actually, I can see why I've got to this point. And actually, I can see why everybody else in my family isn't very good either. And he could have become very embittered by what was going on around him and what was happening. He could have, when he had opportunities to indulge himself in certain areas, he could have gone through those doors and said, well, you know, why not? I've got nothing else to live for. I'll take what comes my way. But actually, he didn't. He might have done. He might have had a few battles in his mind. But actually, whatever might have gone through his mind didn't materialize into an action that's recorded here. Because what we read is that Joseph acted in integrity despite all that was going on, because he knew that he had a purpose and he knew that God had a plan for him. He didn't allow his past or even his present to disqualify him from knowing that God had a future for him. And this morning, you might be in a place where you're thinking, well, you know, this is all nice, exciting stuff, but actually, what can I do? You know, I can't do this because I've got this health issue, or I've got that financial issue, or I've made a mess up with relationships, or I've made a mess up of all sorts of other things like career or whatever. You might be thinking, well, if you look at my circumstances, then perhaps I don't really feel that God would want to use the likes of me. Do you know, that's, I can tell you, is a lie of the devil when you get those thoughts whispering in your head. If any of you have ever suffered from depression, you might have heard the voice that goes something like this. This is your lot in life. Get used to it, because you're not worth any more. Okay, and I've been there, and I feel that pain of that. But I can tell you that that is a lie. That is a lie. And that is not God's word. That is not God's voice speaking. Because God has a purpose. God has a purpose for you. And whatever, wherever you are, wherever you have been, It does not matter, because that does not have to change or define what comes next. Don't let your past hold you back. Do you know, God doesn't need perfect people to carry out his purposes. That's a good job, isn't it? He'd be on his own. And let's face it, he could do it on his own. You know, he could do whatever he wanted on his own. But the fact of the matter is, our purpose is to be in relationship with God. Our purpose is to know what it is to be loved and to love God back. And God chooses for that relationship to be the one that carries out his purposes. It's exciting. It's exciting when we get into that place. It's exciting when we know what it is to be set free and to have freedom from our past. It's exciting when we say yes to Jesus and we say, yeah, I'm yours, I'm all in. And actually, that's where the process of change really starts. When we get into that place, and sometimes we have to be in that place again and again and remind ourselves that we need to keep saying yes to Jesus. But when we do, and when we experience that fantastic release of knowing what it is to be forgiven, made clean, and made whole, and set free of the past, that's awesome. But it begins an ongoing process. It's a relief to know that I'm a work in progress. But it's important that we keep allowing the Holy Spirit to change us and to mold us and to shape us. That's why we have life groups. That's why we run courses like Freedom in Christ, like Alpha. We're running an Alpha course in January. Just a heads up on that. There's other courses and other things that we do, because it's important that together, in relationship with each other, we help each other to move on and to be and to allow that environment where God can change us. Count me into all of that. I want to keep being changed. Number three, God will reveal what he has purposed to you. That's one of the big questions, isn't it? I'm sure that we've all been at, whether we're Christian or not, we'll be, well, what am I supposed to be doing? What am I supposed to be doing? How do I work that out? But God does reveal his plan to us. He doesn't just leave us stabbing in the dark. In that musical, of which I will not sing, the main song says, any dream will do. Any dream will do. Well, any dream won't do. Any dream will not do. God has a plan and a purpose for us. God puts dreams in us. And only his will more than do. Anything else falls short of that. Acts 2:17 says, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Don't get hung up about whether you're an old person or a young person, I don't think that that's what this was about. He was just saying, look, there's all this variety of ways that God speaks to his people, and he speaks to them across the generations. We're in a new time where the Old Testament times have passed to the New Testament, where no longer does God speak to individuals because he needs to. Like he did in the Old Testament, he would speak to prophets or to kings or to significant people individually. Now that's all changed because of Jesus and because of the Holy Spirit. He speaks to all people in all kinds of ways. How many of you like to know exactly what's happening to every detail? Yeah, I'm one of those. And I won't tell you that story because I'll get told off. I like to know all the details of what's going on around. And when God tells me something, I want him to tell me everything. He very rarely does. Don't worry about it. He very rarely does. When we read about Joseph's dreams, he didn't dream that he would end up in prison and that he would rise to become prime minister of Egypt and da 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 da. No, it was quite vague. It was almost a concept, almost a, well, this is what it's going to look like. It's a good job as well, because we, by nature, a lot of us tend to meddle with things. I know I do, because I sometimes have the habit of telling God sort of how this thing's going to work out once he's given me an idea of something. And I've shared this before, that there was a time when God told me as a young man in my early teens that I would be a youth pastor. And I kind of had an idea of what that looked like. But it didn't quite work out the way that I thought it would. So another story, you've probably heard it anyway, and I won't go on about. But the point is that God told me something that later on, when I look back, I could see how that worked out. Because over the time, period of time, from then on, I had a growing passion for young people. I had a growing passion for my generation. And then as we moved, as I grew older, still for that generation, I had a passion. And I wanted to make a difference. And I wanted to care for them. I wanted to love them. I wanted to show them the truth and the reality of God. And I ended up on this farm with this dream. Thankfully, it was only a dream. But on this farm where I was the farm manager, we looked after young people who were close to being expelled from school, or who were young offenders, or had some very difficult backgrounds. And I realized, yeah, you know, I am fulfilling exactly what God said that I would be doing, because I am looking after and I am caring for young people. Sometimes, more often than not, God will not give you the specifics. He will give you an idea. And what tends to happen is that you'll find that you've got a passion welling up within you for a certain thing. Whether it's for justice, whether it's for the poor, whether it's for politics, whether it's for young people, whether it's for teaching, whether it's for businessmen, whether it's for young mothers, whether it's for older people, whether it's, you know, and you will find that you've got, I thank God that in this room, we have got so many passions for so many different things, because not one of us could carry all of those, could we? And what God does is he puts a passion in us. And sometimes he will give us dreams at night. I once, as an 18-year-old, was quite inspired by these kind of stories and by other stories. And I said, God, I want you to speak to me in the middle of the night, and I'm going to get up and I'm going to write down what you say to me. And I asked God to do that. And then he did it once, and I went, oh yeah, I'll remember that, and I'll write it in the morning. And I forgot what it was he'd said. And I really felt God say, look, I did that just to show you that your heart attitude was wrong in asking for that, because you just wanted the wonder and the glory of that. And let's just face it, you need your sleep. I'll speak to you in other ways. So I've not asked him for that before. For some of you, he might. In fact, David was saying this morning that he'd woken up a few times last night with the Stir of Passion song, and God was just saying one or two things to you. That was a God thing. He wouldn't do that with me. Well, he might do, but I don't ever ask for that. But God speaks to us in different ways. But what we need to do when God speaks to us is we need to get some wise counsel from it too. We need to share it with those that are close around us that we know will give us wise counsel. We need to be people who make sure that what we hear is from God. If somebody ever comes to you and says, you know, I've got this dream, I've got this that I want to do, and you go, do you know, that is absolutely bonkers, and that is really not from God, be gracious. But don't tell them it's a good idea, because you don't want to hurt their feelings. Because we want to be people who can be really honest with each other. And when we get it wrong, we want to be able to go to people and say, yeah, okay, have I got this wrong? And not be afraid to explore and to experiment and to push into what God has for us. But God will reveal to us what his plan and his purpose is. And finally, God's purpose is to bless others through you. Blessed to be a blessing. Blessed to be a blessing. What is really clear with Joseph, right at the start when he has that dream, is that he is thinking all about himself. I know I would at that age and in that circumstance. Brilliant. I'm going to be the one that my brothers are bowing down to. It's all about me. I'm going to be great. Me, 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 me. But there was a bigger picture. God said to Joseph's great-grandfather Abraham in Genesis 12, I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all people on earth will be blessed through you. That's a pretty big purpose that God's given Abraham. But he couldn't do that on his own, could he? He needed his son, his grandson, his great-grandson, down through the ages to make that happen. And Joseph was part of a bigger plan. Yes, God had a unique individual plan for him, but it was part of a bigger plan and a bigger purpose that God had already set the ball rolling on. Joseph, at the end of his life, and actually pretty soon before the end of his life, actually realizes that by his living the dream, he was fulfilling God's purpose way beyond himself. Genesis 45, verse 5 says, this is Joseph speaking to his brothers, do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. And he had come to a place where he'd said, look, listen, this is what it is. I know that you treated me badly. This is him talking to his brothers. I know that you treated me badly. I know that my circumstances were really rubbish. And I could say, yeah, that is your fault and you deserve to be punished. But he said, look, forget that. I get it. I get that this needed to happen in order for me to be in this place at this time, in order for God to fulfill God's purposes. I don't think that that makes his brother's behavior right. It doesn't make it okay. And I don't think God was very pleased with their behavior. But he used the circumstances that were there at the time to make sure that Joseph got to the place and did the thing that he needed to do. But Joseph needed to do it. Joseph needed to do what God had purpose for him to do. And the whole purpose of what Joseph did was not just to make him feel good and to make him feel elevated. And he would have had a good life. He had a life of affluence and influence. And he was the second most important man in the country. That was a good place for him to get to. But actually, the main reason for that was so that the nation of Israel could survive at a time when it very, very potentially could be wiped out because of the famine that was happening at the time. God's purpose for us is to bless others. When God gives us our unique purpose, it is so that we can be part of the bigger picture. I really hope that the things that I do on this earth will have an impact to the generations below me, to my children, my grandchildren, their children. I hope that I will leave a legacy of what's to come next. And I see that, and I get that actually what I do now is part of something bigger, something that's beyond myself. you know, if we could all stir a passion in our hearts this morning and in our very beings to say, yeah, I'm really going to start living out my purpose. I'm going to revisit that. I'm going to reaffirm that. And I'm going to see the bigger picture. Think what a difference that we can make in our world around us. Just as I finish this morning, there's just one or two things that maybe we can have a think about and just allow ourselves to listen to what the Holy Spirit is challenging us with this morning. Maybe, if you're honest, you've held back from this living the dream stuff because of your past, or maybe even because of your present circumstances. In fact, maybe you feel it's a struggle to really take a step forward in God because of all of that stuff. And actually, for you this morning, you need to take a step in the right direction in God. You need to say, yeah, okay, I recognize this for what it is. I recognize that I have a purpose. And because that purpose is a God-given purpose, my past is not going to hold me back. My circumstances are not going to hold me back. I am not going to allow all of that stuff to stop me from fulfilling what God wants me to do. And you might just need to quietly recommit yourself to Him and recommit your outlook, your plan, your view of how you see yourself and how you see your future. And it might even be that you've never really experienced what it is to be in relationship with Jesus. Do you know that is our ultimate purpose here on this earth, is to be in that loving relationship with Him. And maybe that is the thing that is stopping you or holding you back from really living a fulfilled, purposeful life, because actually your relationship in God is not aligned properly. Let's just stand. And if you're in that place this morning where actually you need to put your life in God's hands, maybe for the first time, or maybe because you just need to recommit to Him, I'm going to pray a prayer. And I want you to pray that in your hearts and allow the Holy Spirit to move you. Do you know, you'll know when God is speaking to you because your heart tends to beat a bit fast and you tend to feel a little bit different. You might feel like you want to run a mile, but actually you know that God is speaking to you. Lord Jesus, I just thank you that you love me. I thank you that you have always loved me even before I existed. And I recognize this morning that my purpose is to be in a relationship with you. And I just want to ask you to forgive me for all the stuff of the past, all the stuff that is not from you, all of the stuff that has taken me away and drawn me away from a purpose-filled life in you. And this morning I put my hand in yours and I declare that I'm yours and that I am going to live for you. That what I do is going to come out of relationship with you. And I also get a sense this morning that there's people in this room who you've had dreams in the past, that God has spoken stuff over you in the past, that you've had things welling up in you in the past, but actually you've never really fulfilled those or done anything about it because you've not felt worthy enough, you've not felt skilled enough, you've not felt important enough. And actually this morning, you just need to have a bit of honest time with the Father, and you need to say, this is where I'm at, but this is not where I'm going to stay. And if you have given me a dream and a passion, I'm going to do something about that this morning, and I'm going to say, yes, God, stir that passion in me, because I'm going to live in a way that is going to allow that to happen. I'm not going to be held back. Coming back to my dream in the chicken shed, some of you might feel that you have been in the dark because you don't really feel very qualified, or maybe you feel that if you push yourself forward too much, that actually all it will do is expose you for who you feel or perceive yourself to be. But actually this morning you're realizing that all of that stuff is not God's stuff. I'm done now, but I'm just going to ask David to play for a few more moments, just while we allow some time between us and God, just to affirm all of that. And we do, and we will have a team by the prayer board over there if you want to talk through anything or pray through anything. And if you have prayed that prayer for the first time, please come and talk to us, and we'll just help you through some stuff. But just for a couple of moments, we'll just let the Holy Spirit